So is it a pothole or a cliff?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. General Motors looks to be on the bankruptcy brink. Bloomberg is reporting it will file on Monday. Meanwhile, Chrysler is apparently about to climb out of that pit. Its bankruptcy hearing resumes in New York this morning after what turned into a marathon session yesterday. Reporter Tamara Keith joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what happened in court yesterday?
The session lasted 13 hours and wrapped up just shy of midnight. And at issue is whether Chrysler's reorganization plan is really best for everyone. The plan is to sell it to automaker Fiat. And Chrysler chairman Robert Nardelli surprised a lot of people yesterday when on the stand. He said that the sale could go through as soon as today.
Yeah, the speed of this bankruptcy is amazing.
Yeah, it is moving really fast. Bankruptcies are supposed to take a long time, but this one's only been going for about a month. And some people are objecting to that speed. They say the government and Chrysler are cramming the plan through too fast. And among the most vocal opponents are these three Indiana pension funds. They want to be paid back in full for what they're owed. And they say that a better idea would be selling off Chrysler's various product lines individually. But then Chrysler's Nardelli testified that that wasn't really practical or possible.
And what's next, Tamara?
Well, there have been more than 300 objections filed with the court, but even lawyers who oppose the sale think the judge is going to approve the deal. And so the final product would be 20% owned by Fiat, the U.S. and Canada would own about 12%, and the UAW would own the rest. But there are likely to be appeals. And there is this sense of urgency because if it isn't all wrapped up by June 15th, Fiat could back out. And that could mean liquidation for Chrysler.
Reporter Tamara Key, thank you.
Thank you.
In other news, inflation took a vacation. Yesterday, the Treasury held a bond auction and there were buyers that had inflation worriers mopping their brow in relief. The S&P 500 jumped 1.5%. The Dow rose 104 points to 8,403. This morning, European markets are up more than 1%. Asian markets finished higher as well. Crude oil topped $65 per barrel in New York for the first time this year. Dell reported after the bell yesterday, first quarter profit was down 63% from a year ago.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America committed to treating customers as people, not policies. Online at TrustedChoice.com. And by SaveAndInvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money with confidence. Online at SaveAndInvest.org.
We get another big picture of the economy this morning when the government releases its revised first quarter GDP. Analysts expect first quarter shrinkage of 5.5%. This week, Germany announced its biggest GDP drop since it began keeping track. The country, famous for making great stuff, can't seem to sell it. Brett Neely reports from Berlin.
At the Menzel Electric Motor Works in Berlin, a worker hand drills parts that will go into a custom-made electric motor. 80% of the company's products are exported, and last fall, sales collapsed.
We were running at about 130% in the first 9 months of the plant sales, and in the last 3 months, we did perhaps 50% of the plant.
29-year-old Mattis Menzel is the third generation to run this 82-year-old family firm. He had to cut the working hours for 30 of his 100 employees to stay afloat. It's a story being repeated all over Germany. This country of 80 million people shipped out $1.3 trillion worth of goods last year, more than China. Economist Erwin Collier says Germany did plenty of things right.
But the collapse in international demands hits a nation like Germany particularly hard.
Unemployment is on the rise, and some Germans question whether the export-based model of the past 60 years still works. Among them, Axel Weber, the president of Germany's central bank.
Ich selbst halte einen gewissen Ausgleich.
At a recent speech in Hamburg, he said Germany needs to get into services and not just stick to manufacturing. That means more hairdressers, doctors, photographers, anyone who doesn't build stuff. But Weber acknowledges that that won't happen fast. Company owner Mattis Menzel says he's not worried about being too dependent on exports. Sales have already started to bounce back. and he's gotten some important advice from his family about crises.
My grandmother started to work in the company in 1942, and she's still alive. And when I talk to her in these days, she's completely relaxed and says, "Oh, we had so much more difficult times. Don't worry about that."
Though the company wasn't part of the Nazi war effort, the family's factory was bombed a dozen times. Compared to the wartime devastation, Menzel says the current recession is just a hiccup. In Berlin, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
One of the most successful TV shows in the world is Ugly Betty. You know, it was first made in Colombia, and there are several other foreign Bettys. On ABC's hit version, Ugly Betty works at a magazine. But in China, she works at an ad agency, and that makes for the perfect product placement vehicle. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
In China, Ugly Wu Di is the character's name, the TV heroine with the thick glasses and bad hair. Here's the trailer. Ugly Wu Di also competes for a guy's attention, but the show's not really about love. It's about Dove, as in skincare. The Dove logo is in the background of many scenes, as well as the foreground, and it's stitched on the actor's clothes. Lipton Tea is another sponsor, and every character drinks the stuff. U.S. viewers might consider this product placement excessive. However,
I don't actually think it's too much for a Chinese audience.
Youth marketing consultant Mary Bergstrom.
We in China haven't been as inundated with product information. So having new brands and being educated consumers is a relatively new concept.
Or, as another observer put it, it's okay for Western advertisers to be gauche in China. Ugly Wu Di premiered last fall to huge ratings. The second season just ended, and producers and sponsors are plugging away on year three. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And in the other entertainment capital, Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you have a great Friday.
American Public Media.